Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. This Lent, we are meeting witnesses to Christ's passion in John's Gospel, and today we hear about Peter. Peter is in the courtyard of the high priest, and it's here in this courtyard where Peter experiences something that we all can relate to, something that none of us can escape: guilt. Now, maybe there is someone somewhere who maybe gets by through life without ever experiencing guilt, but I think much more likely is that everybody in the world will experience guilt at one time or another in their lives. From time to time, we've all heard that inner accusatory voice that tries to convince us that we are worthless, that we blew it big time. Maybe you might be filled with remorse over how you parented your children. Maybe you're filled with remorse over how you've treated your spouse or how you treated your parents even when you were growing up. Maybe there was once where you saw a life that was just filled with opportunity. And now as you look back at your life, you see all that you have wasted. It doesn't matter what it is. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of reasons for us to feel guilty about our lives. We have guilt according to thought, word, and deed. Peter knows guilt too. You may remember Peter, he makes these bold confessions, right? We didn't get this tonight in our reading, but if we track our way back to John 13, Peter makes this profound confession. He says, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Man, lay down his life, right? Peter had been a simple fisherman, right? And what does Jesus do? He calls him to be an apostle. And then Peter gets to follow Jesus around and see him do all of these wonderful miracles that are recorded throughout the scriptures. He didn't just hear about them through scripture. He actually got to eyewitness them. He saw them. You know, you may remember when the storm is on the lake and the disciples are all afraid and they see Jesus walking on the water, and then Jesus invites Peter to join him. Now Peter's doing miracles. And of course, when Peter starts to doubt, Jesus saves him. Peter's the one who confessed that Jesus was the Christ, and he's also the one who told Jesus that he would never have to go to the cross. Right? It's mixed with so many good things, so many like proud moments that Peter can kind of look back on and be like, look at how well I did. But then all kinds of moments in there too where he just utterly screwed up. The point is that Peter and Jesus, they've been through a lot together. And it makes sense for Peter to make his confession. I will lay down my life for you. Well, as we just heard this reading, Peter couldn't even make a good confession of Jesus, let alone lay down his life. But it teaches us that Peter's problem, it's our problem too. It's that it's really easy to confess. It's really easy to be convicted and to say something with our mouths. But time and time again, what we claim we are going to do does not come to fruition. Paul put it this way, right? The mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's easy to say that you are going to do what is good and right from this time forward, and yet I guarantee you, as many times as you do that, you will go back out into the world and you will fail yet again. Peter had three chances to confess Christ, and three times he failed. Each time, the guilt slowly packs on. Poor Peter, right? And the rooster crows and it brings him to his senses, and he's reminded that Jesus told him about this denial even before it happened. And while Peter didn't betray Jesus like Judas did, not for money, but his sin is certainly the same. Peter's sin utterly crushes his spirit, because Peter feels the guilt. He's disappointed in himself. He's miserable. And if we borrow from some of the other gospel readings, it says that he went out and wept bitterly. Do you see your own life? We have convictions. I mean, we all have desires to lay down our life for Jesus. We all want to do what is right. But our sin, it leaves us the same as Peter. It leaves us utterly humiliated before God. Because we do, we try, we want to do good, we want to be better, we want to be true to God's word, and yet we can't. We are so weak and incapable, and it's embarrassing, and it leaves us disappointed and sad with ourselves. And so we convince ourselves, right? We do this self-justifying thing in our minds all the time. Well, I'm going to do this, but then we decide, well, you know, I can just, one more lie won't hurt that much, right? One more drink. I'll just take one more look, scheme one more dishonest deal, and we think that after that one last time that we'll finally be done with it forever. Except what does sin do? It dominoes. Where if we convince ourselves we can do it just once, all of a sudden we found ourselves not doing it once, not doing it twice, not even doing it three times. It just keeps on going. One domino makes all of the others fall. And as the guilt gets packed on again and again and again, and finally it descends on us, really it hits us like a ton of bricks, that what once started with such conviction, such desire to do good, it really got screwed up somewhere along the way. We really didn't meet the task. We are failures. We are guilty. And we need to be. And if you haven't admitted that to yourself yet, today is the day to do it. Because you are guilty. But, you know, we don't have time to read through the entire story from John's gospel. But what we find with Peter is the same thing we'll find with ourselves. You see, as Jesus goes to the cross and he eventually is killed and then he rises back to life. And Jesus then shows Peter what grace looks like. Right? Peter has guilt, and Jesus shows him grace. Jesus asks Peter after his resurrection, he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter goes, of course I love you. And three times Jesus asks this question, Peter, do you love me? And each of those three times, Peter repeats the same thing. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But you see what he does. Peter, with his three times guilt, is then overcome three times. He gets to make a good confession about who Jesus is and how he feels toward him. Because Jesus is in the business of erasing Peter's guilt. That's the real difference between Peter and Judas. And we'll get to Judas in a future sermon here. But Judas thought his sin was unforgivable. And Peter here finds himself with the Lord yet again. Yes, Peter did sin against his Savior. That's true. But Jesus was willingly suffering and dying for him in that moment. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him. And in fact, the reason that he told Peter about this great denial that would take place is that way, when it did happen, Peter wouldn't descend into despair. But he would know to return to where Jesus is. I mean, if Jesus intended for that to be like the end-all, be-all thing for Peter, where he's just condemned now, he would have stopped the whole thing, right? Oh, sorry, Peter. No hope for you now because you are so guilty because you did these sins. But Jesus doesn't do any of that. Peter denies him, and then Jesus takes that denial and he goes to the cross with it. He dies with Peter's denial. That way Peter doesn't have to bear the guilt. And the same is true for all of us. If you're anything like me, you screw up daily, hourly, minutely. It happens. But instead of feeling guilty about it, confess it. Tell Jesus that you have utterly screwed up. Weep bitterly over your sin. Sure, true, yes. But have remorse over it, knowing that Christ is going to take it away. You know, this is the best part about the confession and absolution that we do in our regular Sunday service. Because we mean it. I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. I am a poor, miserable sinner. But we make that confession bitterly. Not maybe with weeping, but you know, our souls are certainly remorseful over those sins. But we can do it with confidence. Because we know the very next words that are going to be spoken to us. The guilt gets replaced with grace. Because you are forgiven. When you really feel the weight of your sins on your shoulders, those words release you more than any other words can. So Peter, you know, as well as us, we start with guilt. We end up in God's grace. But Peter's story isn't over when Jesus ascends. You know, Peter makes good use of this forgiveness throughout his entire life. And the truth is, if Jesus has good use for Peter, he has good use for us. Because who preaches the first sermon on Pentecost after the apostles receive the Holy Spirit? It's Peter. Whose sermon brings 3,000 souls to be converted to Christianity? It's Peter's. Who writes 2 books of the New Testament? It's Peter. Who heals a blind beggar? It's Peter. Who is put on trial and then thrown into prison for making a good confession about who Jesus is and where he had his faith? It's Peter. And you know what? As Peter said that he would lay down his life, he did. Peter was killed for his faith. Why? Because grace overcomes guilt. Because Peter believed that what Jesus did through his death and his resurrection, that he accomplished for him. And so what do you believe? I mean, certainly you're not innocent. We all have guilt, right? We all have things that we would be humiliated about if everybody else knew about them. But truth be told is that we also know about the redemption we have in Jesus. We know about the grace of God that only he can pour out for us. And because of that, it means just like Peter, God has good use of you. Even so, beset with weaknesses, he will use your life to accomplish great things for God's kingdom. My friends, today take a page from Peter's book and allow your guilt to give way for God's grace that has been so richly and perfectly poured on you through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.